I do thank the Lord for you, Pastor, and the privilege God give us to know one another.
Yes.
I felt like already you, Brother Joel, before I ever met him.
Amen.
Talked to him on the phone quite a bit the last few years. I was listening to the radio on WSOL, and I heard him preaching. And that preaching that I heard sounded like old Pied's Bell to me.
Amen.
So I said, I'd like to find out a little more about that preacher. Now, I don't know how, if y'all up here in North Carolina know what Pied's Bell means. But down in Mississippi, when I was growing up, the old cows just run loose. And they had one old cow that put a bell on. And you hear that bell ring, you knew that was old Pied's Bell. You knew where they was at.
Amen.
So it sounded like old Pied's Bell to me. It sounded like he knew where he's at.
Amen.
And what he was preaching.
Yes.
So I like to fellowship with the people of God this
Amen.
Morning. I just love the people of God. My wife will tell you that every time we went on vacation, I was trying to find somebody to fellowship with around the Word of God.
Amen.
I love the Word of God. I love preaching this morning.
Yeah.
I love to hear men of God preach. And I've been in two camp meetings already this week, hearing preaching all week long.
Yeah.
And still want to hear some more.
Amen.
And looking forward to hearing your pastor preach tonight, being back here tonight. I want to say thank you for giving us this opportunity to be with y'all this morning.
Amen.
And we leave here, go on our way home. We'll be heading back home in the morning. You pray for the wife and I that God give us grace for the journey and help us arrive home safely. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us this morning, turn with us to the book of Job, Job chapter number 31. Job chapter number 31. Let's pray. Father, we bow our heads before you again. We bow in the great and wonderful name of Jesus. Lord God, we count it an honor to bow before the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God, just come to your throne room again. And God, we know that we're needy creatures this morning. We know, God, by spirits, that we're not going to be able to help anyone. We're not going to be able to preach the Word of God unless you breathe upon us, God, and help us. I ask you, God, for the power from on high that it might be upon us this morning, that we might help some poor lost wayfaring sinner this morning that might come this way. Lord, see the light and see where they stand. God, it sure would be good to hear the cry of a newborn babe in our midst this morning. I pray that you bless this precious church and their precious pastor this morning. God, in this late hour that we're living, God, they sure need you. God, there sure needs to be a church holding up the great banner of our Lord and Savior. God, be with us in the service today in a mighty way. And we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We'll begin reading here in verse number 1 of this chapter. I might say this, we're a long ways from home. We're down in Picayune, Mississippi. That's where we're from. And everybody asks me where I'm from. I tell them Picayune, Mississippi. And they say, what did you say? I said, Picayune, Mississippi. And then I have to spell it. And it's the only place in the world, if I'm not mistaken, that's by that name. Picayune, Mississippi. So it's about 750 miles from here. But we love home, just like y'all love home up here. We love to come up here, visit in the mountains and see folks, but we're always glad to get home. And I'm looking forward to going to my eternal home, aren't you?
Amen.
I sure am. And like that song said, I can almost see the lights of home. I believe we're just that close this morning. I believe Jesus is soon coming again, don't you? Amen. Well, look with us as we read here in verse number 1, chapter 31 of the book of Job. The Bible said here, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, now, I made a covenant, made an agreement with my eyes, that eyes, if you won't look upon the maiden, I won't think about her. I'll keep my eyes where they ought to be. And I thank the Lord to keep our eyes where they ought to be.
Amen.
I don't think we ought to be looking at anything that would hinder us and our spirituality, that could invade our minds and get us away from God. Do you? So Job said, I made an agreement. For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strong punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot had cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow, and let another eat, yea, let my offspring be rooted out. Boy, strong words, isn't it? If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, listen to what he said, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime, yet it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant, or my maidservant, when they contended with me. Now, Job is saying, if all these things happen in my life. He didn't say he was guilty of these things. I don't think he was. God testified to Job and said Job was a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Well, we need some of those in this day, don't we? We need folks just like Job today. I don't find many people fearing God. I don't see much fear of God in our churches. I don't, and if it's not in our churches, it's not going to be in our country. We need the fear of God this morning. And Job feared God, and that fear he had of God. Let me tell you something. If you fear God, you're going to shun evil. Job feared God, and that fear that was in his heart caused him to shun the evil that's in his world. He said, I don't want to make my God angry. You know, the Bible says God's angry every day with the sinners. He's angry, brother. And I don't know about you this morning, but I don't want God to be angry with me. I don't want him to be angry with me. I read my Bible where he got angry, and I don't want him angry with me. I want to fear God. I want to shun evil this morning. And listen now, he said, if I've been guilty of all these things, which he wasn't, but listen to what he said. If I was, he said, what then shall I do when God rises up? He said, if I'm guilty of all these things, what shall I do when God rises up? He said, Job knew that God was a God that would judge sin. I'll tell you, people's lost sight of that this morning. They think God's just a loving little kind God. Amen. That he, and I hear people say, and I pastored a man one time, and when he prayed, he said, oh God, I asked you to overlook our sin. I want to tell you, God's not going to overlook sin, folks. God's going to judge sin this morning. And if it's in your life and my life this morning, God's going to judge that sin. And we're going to be called on the carpet for that sin. And we're going to have to pay for that sin. The Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can rest assured this morning, as Moses said to the children of Israel, you can be sure your sins will find you out. You might think sometime, young man, young lady, out here in this world, that you're doing things that nobody ever know anything about it. You might think you hide it. You might think mom and daddy might not know about it. You might think it might never get out. But I want you to rest assured this morning, there's an all-seeing eye watching you, and he knows all that's going on in your life, and I want you to know this morning that you're going to sow what you reap. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you're going of the flesh reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap a life everlasting. I like that life everlasting, don't you? I like that part. And I'm looking forward to enter in to eternal life after a while. You say, preacher, you ain't got it now. Oh, yeah, I've got eternal life now. But boy, that's going to be the life after a while, brother, when there's no more suffering, when there's no more sorrow, when there's no more separation. I'm going to tell you, that's the life I'm looking forward to. And dear sinner friend of mine this morning, I want you to understand, without Jesus Christ, you know, you'll never have any hope for that life, because that life is in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. If you think this morning that you, by some way, somehow, you're going to make it to heaven, you're not. If you think you're going to get to heaven some other way besides through Jesus, I want you to know you're not going to heaven this morning. I want you to know that Buddha is not the way, and Muhammad is not the way, and Mormonism is not the way, and Jehovahism is not the way. It's Jesus is the way. And I'm going to tell you this morning, that's why the world hates the name of Jesus this morning. We're living in a world that despises the name of Jesus. I'm sad to say we live in a country today that don't want you even praying in the name of Jesus. I read about them stopping men that's going to pray in our legislature and in our schools. They've taken it out. And when you kick Jesus out, brother, you ain't got nothing but trouble that's going to come. But I love that name. There's no other name given among men whereby we may be saved but by the name of Jesus. Isn't that name sweet this morning? I'm going to tell you, I love that name of Jesus. The Bible says over in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 13, he said, if you ask anything in my name, he said, I'll give it unto you that the Father might be glorified in the Son. I'm going to tell you what, this morning, you can't even pray and get anything done without praying in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, God recognizes that name this morning. Well, I wasn't going to preach on the name, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. And he said, if I do all this, if I think I can get out here and sin, I can live like the devil wants me to live. I can drink, I can curse, I can carouse, I can commit fornication, adultery, I can do all these things, and I can get by with it. Oh no, I want to ask you something. What you going to do when God rises up? When God rises up, because he is looking at you today. And I want you to notice he didn't stop there. And he said, well, then what shall I do when God rises up, and when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Oh, I want you to know this morning that one of these days God is going to come calling. He's going to call your name. He's going to look you eyeball to eyeball. He's going to stir in your heart. He's going to convict you by his power. He's going to open your eyes that you might see where you stand before a holy God. I'm one of them old Baptist preachers that believes in Holy Ghost conviction this morning. I don't believe no man can be saved unless he comes under Holy Ghost conviction. I don't believe he can be saved unless that sweet Holy Ghost draws him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe a man determines when he's going to get saved. I believe God determines that, and God sends that Holy Ghost to invite the lost sinner to come. And brother, that's a precious thing. And just let me tell you, this young man, young lady this morning, if the sweet Holy Ghost from heaven comes knocking on your heart this morning, that's one of the greatest things that ever happened to you this side of eternity. And what you need to do, you need to respond to him. You need to say, yes, Lord. And the Bible says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. It's an awful thing to strive with the Holy Ghost this morning.
The Bible said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You know what I believe this morning? I believe he's pretty close by this morning. I believe he's pretty close by. Somebody is lost here in this service this morning. I believe he wants to save somebody here in this service this morning. And brother, you better seek him while he can be found. Because brother, one of these days, the Bible said, God said in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, he said, there'll come a time you'll seek me and shall not find me. You'll want to be saved, but you can't be saved. Brother, I'm going to tell you, today is the day of salvation. Now, right now, is the acceptable time. Could I tell you, there'll never be a better time in your life, young man, young lady, old man, old woman, whoever it is this morning. It makes no difference if you're lost. There'll never be a better day in your life than to get saved than right now, to call upon God. Because you know why? You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You know what Proverbs said in chapter 27, I believe it is. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. There's nobody in this building this morning. I don't care how educated you are, how intelligent you are. I don't care how many books you read and anything else and how many degrees you got. You don't know if you're going to be living another day. And I'm going to tell you what, you ought to do your best for Jesus today. If you're saved, if you're lost this morning, you need to be seeking his face that you might be able to get saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. He said over in the book of James, go to now that you say, today we'll go into such a city and there we'll buy and sell and continue a year. He says, for as ye know, what shall not be on tomorrow. He said, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and it vanishes away. I see some old gray hairs just like I got on my head. And brother, I'm right at 70's door. My next birthday, I'll be 70 years old. Y'all thought I'd be 90, didn't you? But I'm just going to be 70. I'm looking at some gray hairs out here in this building this morning, probably around my age, maybe older than I am. But I'm going to tell you what, I realize more and more as I got older. I preached this so many a time in days past that life was like a vapor. I preached it hard. I preached it long. But you know, really, I didn't fully realize until I got to the age I am and look back over the ages of time, the years I've lived, to realize just how short it's been, brother. It seems like it's just been a vapor. And I was just yesterday, I was a boy running the hills of Pearl River County, fishing on Long Branch, enjoying life. And now, brother, the grave ain't far down the road, but I'm glad I met the Savior on my journey and don't have to worry about tomorrow. But if you're here lost, you have to worry about tomorrow. You need to get saved today while you're young. He said it's good. Listen, he said it's over in Lamentation. He said it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. There'll never be nothing any better, young person, this morning than you, for you to get saved while you're young and take the yoke of the Lord upon you and serve him all the days of your life. I promise you, my friend, you won't ever regret it. A day when you come to die and leave this world, you'll say, boy, I bless the day that Jesus come my way and I called upon him and he saved me by his grace. I've never met any saint of God that was lying on the bed dying about to go out in eternity and say, I'm sorry I got saved. I've heard many say this, preacher, I wish I'd have lived and walked closer to the Lord. Listen to me this morning. If you're saved by the good grace of God and you're not living like you ought to live, you're not walking with him day by day, and like this brother taught this morning, if you're not taking up his cross daily, every day it's a daily thing. It's just not on Sundays. It's an everyday thing. Let me encourage you this morning. Every day in your life, take up the cross and follow Jesus. And when you get to the end of life, you won't want to be sorry you're saved, sorry that you got saved, but you also thank God that you served him all the days of your life. Say amen. 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 I'm standing by the bedside of this lady. I pastored this lady. She couldn't read nor write, but she got saved. She knew she was saved. I never will forget, I was at the hospital with her right before she passed into eternity. She had five girls. And those girls all gathered around the bed, and she was laying there, and she'd start to breathe, and she'd quit. And all them girls started, "Mama, Mama, Mama, you can't leave us now." And she had already told me in days past, the lady did. She said, "Brother McCraney, I'm not afraid to die." She said, "I'm looking forward to meeting Jesus on the other side. I know where I'm going when I leave this life." And those girls, every time she quit breathing, looked like she was not one going to breathe. They'd holler, "Oh, Mama, don't leave us. Mama, breathe for us. Breathe for us, Mama." And after a while, the angels came. And while they stood there, Mama breathed her last breath. I told them girls, "Don't worry about Mama. If you're not saved, you need to be saved like Mama. And if you ever see Mama again, you're going to have to get saved." And I assured them that Mama knew she was saved and where she was going. Brother, there's not anything better than to know that you know that you know that you've been saved by the good grace of God. You might have joined the church. You might have been baptized till you're slick as an eel. But that's not going to get you to heaven, friend. You can have your name on every church roll in this county. That's not going to get you to heaven. You can be baptized by every preacher. That's not going to get you to heaven. You must be born again. You must be saved by the good grace of God. Jesus wants to save you. Amen.
Amen, brother.
What's going to be your answer? What's going to be your answer, friend? If Jesus comes today, what you going to answer Him? I read over in the book of Acts the apostles. I read where the apostle Paul came, stood before a king one day. And I want to tell you something, brother. That wasn't no accident Paul was standing there before Agrippa. I want to tell you something. There's no accidents with God. I'm not here today at this church. I never thought 20 years I'd be preaching North Carolina and Salisbury at this Westside Baptist Church. I didn't even know about it. But God knew about it years ago. And ain't God good this morning? I want you to know something. God knew who would be here this morning. He knows what you need this morning. I don't know anything about you. Some of you fellas introduced yourself, but I done forgot your name. It'd take me a while to get it all straight. But I'm going to tell you something. God knows all about you. And God knew who would be here. God knew what you would need. And God knows the message that He needed to send this morning. And my friend, you need to hear the voice of God this morning. I want to stand here and tell you, by disobeying the voice of God, oh, there are serious consequences that wait for you. If you reject the voice of God, there's serious consequences, there's results for not hearing God this morning.
That's right.
I read where Paul came over to and stood before Agrippa, and Paul related to Agrippa his salvation experience. He knew exactly where he got saved. It was on the road to Damascus. That's where he got saved at. Some people think he got saved over Ananias. Oh no, he is already saved. Because when Ananias come in there, he said, "Brother Saul," I'm going to tell you, the only way he could have called him brother, and he's been in the same family. Amen. Paul was saved by the good grace of God. And Ananias called him brother. And he related that wonderful experience he had on the road to Damascus. How that he was blind. You know, that's what's wrong with most folks today. They're blinded by this world. Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Blind, lest the glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, should shine unto them and they be saved. I want to tell you something. The Holy Ghost is at work this morning, but also the devil's at work this morning. I want you to tell you something, young man, young lady. The devil's got you in his hands, and he don't want to turn you loose, and he's going to fight to hold you this morning. But it's just up to you this morning. I'm going to tell you, some of you, that you're at a divide in your life. There's a decision you're going to have to make, and you're going to make a decision this morning whether you want to or not. And I'm not talking about easy believism and all that, but salvation is a decision. You decide to repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can decide that for you. That's you and God this morning. So Paul was standing there before him, and Paul was telling his experience. And as he was standing there and told his experience, oh, Festus over there, he said, "Paul," You've lost your mind. You know, people think preachers lost their mind. I mean, if they get out of the pulpit and preach, if they holler and spit and all that, sweat and slang sweat, they've lost their mind, brother. They think they ought to stand by this pulpit and just smile real big and talk real low and everything else. I'm going to tell you what, I can't do that. I'm telling you this morning, I never could do that. There's something inside me begins to well up and say, brother, there's somebody needs to hear, declare the glorious good news of Jesus. Try to reach that lost boy, that lost girl, that lost man, that lost woman. You may never have another opportunity. I realize that as I sat here this morning. I may never get to preach to you again. I don't want to leave here this morning with the blood of men on my hands.
Amen, brother.
They said, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. You lost your mind. Paul said, I know where I'm going now. He knew where he's going. I know where I'm going this morning. And he said, listen to what he said. He said, I want to tell you something. I brought the demands of the throne of God to old Grippa this morning. That's what he said. He said, God's got demands from Grippa's life, and I brought them to him this morning. I'm bringing demands from heaven's throne room this morning to somebody here in this service that God wants to help this morning.
Amen.
Paul said, I want to tell you something, Festus. Agrippa knows about what happened over at Jerusalem. This thing that happened over at Jerusalem wasn't done in a corner. He knows about it. He knows about it. He knows, Festus, that whole countryside was electrified by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not go anywhere unless he electrified the crowds and people could come out by the hundreds and multitudes and follow him. And I'm amazed at these churches this morning that thinks they got to have their ball teams, thinks they got to have their family life centers where they exercise and get in shape and all that kind of mess is going on today. Brother, I'm going to tell you what, that won't profit anything, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of the life to come, brother. It's got some promises for us after a while to live godly, holy, righteous in this present world. I know people say, you know, you can't live right today. Oh, yes, you can. I've been living right for a number of years, and I'm not boasting about it. I'm boasting on good grace of God. The grace of God will help you live right, friend. It'll help you live right. Amen. It'll help you live right. The grace of God will help you live right. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Doing what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness are something we got to do after we're saved. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Brother, we got to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this world this morning. We got to deny some things in order to be able to serve God in a way that God will accept it in this life.
Yeah, that's right.
Teaching us denying ungodly and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly. When we get to heaven? No. In this present world. I hear people say, preacher, you know, it's hard to live right. The Bible says, you know, that iniquity is abounding. Love of many is waxed cold. I tell you, it don't have to be me. My love hadn't waxed cold. Hey, I'll tell you, the world will do what they want to do. I love Jesus. I love Him more every day of my life. I want to serve Him more every day of my life. I want to do something for Him every day of my life. And brother, I'll tell you what, if you love the Lord, it's not a problem to serve Him this morning. Jesus said, if a man loves me on the condition a man loves, he's talking about saved folks now. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. I want to tell you what, if you love Jesus this morning, you'll dress right, walk right, spit right, you'll live like you ought to live. Say amen. Probably some of you don't like that preaching, but it's still the truth. I don't apologize for the truth. Amen. Amen. We ought to live right. You got to help you to live right. And he said, Agrippa, I know you know all these things. You heard about it. And boy, it began to bother you. That's why, Agrippa, you putting up with me standing here talking like I am. I believe that's what Paul was saying to him. And he could have said, get out of here, Paul. But listen to me, he's like whole sinners. He knew there was something in his life that was missing. He knew that there was peace that he didn't have. That position that he had did not bring into his life. Let me tell you, this world does not have anything that will bring lasting peace and contentment and satisfaction into your life this morning. It'll take Jesus to bring that. He said, Agrippa, I know you know all this. And he said, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, oh, Agrippa. He said, I know you believe. Now, if I asked you this morning, ask everybody in here, do you believe Jesus died on Calvary? They rose again the third day. Everybody here probably say yes. I believe that. But that ain't going to save you just believing that.
That's right.
Believing a historical account of what happened
right.
ain't going to save you. You got to believe to the saving of your soul. You got to believe to the saving of your soul that you repent of your ungodly, wicked ways. And you got to see yourself lost and wicked and undone before God. And when you see yourself that way, repent of that and call upon the name of Jesus and ask Him for mercy. He'll save you.
Yes. Amen. Yes, right.
I know, Agrippa, thou believest, because you heard all about it. It wasn't done in a corner somewhere. It wasn't done in secret. And ever since then, people's been talking about it. Been talking about, there was many people crucified besides Jesus in those days. Many people. I don't know the name of one of them, but I know Jesus. Jesus crucified. And it's just come down through the pages of time. Jesus was strong. You can go almost anywhere in this world and talk to people about Jesus. And they'll say, yes, I've heard that story. I heard that man died on the cross. I heard he suffered. They hung him on the cross. And I heard he raised again the third day. Jesus, that old gospel has gone many places this morning. And people say, well, preacher, and I tell you what people's done. They say, well, preacher, what about these people that's in these darkest parts of the world that's never heard the gospel? Well, if you read Romans 1, he said the invisible things of God are clearly seen. Amen. He said over in Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. The elements, hey, declare His handiwork. Let me tell you something. Nobody's going to be have an excuse in that day. People try to make excuses. You ain't going to have no excuse. I'm going to tell you, especially if you sit in an old-time Baptist church, you ain't going to have no excuse. I'm going to tell you what. Judgment is going to be worse on people that's sitting in Baptist churches and reject the Lord Jesus Christ than it is for the heathen down in darkest Africa that don't get saved. What's that scripture over there? Jesus said in the 11th chapter of Matthew, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works been done in thee have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they remain unto this day. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. For if the mighty works have been done in thee, have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah. They would have repented long ago. But I say unto you, that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you believe that? In the day of judgment than for you. Some of you boys and girls sitting here think you got everything figured out. You think you're going to get saved some down the road. Jesus coming soon. You might not have the opportunity. You might be dead before morning light comes again. I'm going to tell you what. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah as you stand before a holy God in the great white throne judgment than it is for you. You say, oh, preacher, that's not right. Oh, yes. They didn't hear what you're hearing. They didn't have an opportunity to hear this preacher man right here to declare the good word of God Sunday in, Sunday out, week in, week out, and stand and plead and beg you to come to Christ. You're going to give an account of the opportunity. Judgment's going to be according to privilege and opportunity too. You better believe it. Yes, sir. I'll tell you why it's going to be bad for you. There's some over in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. He said over there, man come to Jesus one day and said, Lord, are there few that be saved? Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many will seek to enter therein and shall not be able. He said, when once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock and say, open unto us, but he shall say unto you, I know you not. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Wait a minute, Lord. Lord, didn't you teach in our street? Didn't you eat? Didn't we eat and drink in your presence? Lord, we heard the sweet words of grace fall off your lips. Lord, we heard that. He said, well, I want to tell you something that's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sit down in the kingdom of God and ye yourselves thrust out. Let me tell you something. I preach reality. It seems like reality is getting out of preaching today. But I want to tell you something. In the judgment, I preach at the great white throne judgment that all the saints of all every saint is going to be there. And all the lost is going to be there from the very beginning of Adam. And I believe that you're going to see your mom and daddy there that tried to get you to live right and trust Jesus and do right. And you wouldn't listen. And you'll see here Jesus enter into the joy of the Lord. They'll stand there, mom and daddy. You might not be concerned about that boy or girl, but I'm going to tell you what, if they die in their sins, you're going to hear the Lord tell them, depart from me, you work of iniquity. The angels will take them and cast them in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Let me tell you, a lot of people think after Jesus comes, all tears would be gone. But no. No, I'm going to tell you this. You better go study this before you disagree this preacher. In the millennial reign, there's going to be tears shed by the people of God. I'm going to tell you, every one of us probably shedding a lot of tears over there because of we didn't. We didn't do everything we ought to have done. Parents today is letting their children decide for themselves. Well, preacher, I think they ought to decide for themselves. If they want to come to church, if they don't want to come to church, oh, listen to me. I didn't have that decision to make. My mother and daddy said, son, we're going to church. And that's it. And I never questioned them. I'd get up, we'd go to church.
Yes. Amen, brother.
Mama's days let children do what they want to do. A lot of times it's grandmas and granddaddies that gets children to go to church because they're sorry mom and daddy's laying up in bed trying to recover from Saturday night drunk spell. That's right. I'm going to tell you right now, you're to thank God for the old saints that love you and get you to come to the house of God and plead with you to trust Jesus.
Amen.
But it's going to be real over there. And people's going to be weeping for 1,000 years. Tears of regret, brother. Tears of regret. How do you know, preacher? Well, if you read your Bible over there in Revelation 21. And what was that he said? He said, John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And there was no more sea. Not going to be no sea on that new earth. You know why? It's going to take all of it for all the saints to live on. That's right. And it's going to take a pretty big place for that new city, New Jerusalem. John said, I saw coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. I'm going to tell you what, that's for the saints of God, the church. That's for the church. He's coming back after a church without spot and without blemish, brother. I'm going to tell you what, he's not coming out for people that sits on the church pew and they're saved and they never pray, they never read the Bible, and they live like the devil out here during the week. They cuss, snort, rip, and rare. I'm going to tell you what, they're not going to be in the bride. Now, y'all might take issue with that.
Amen, brother.
That's all right. You take issue with that. I'm going to tell you, that church Jesus is coming out, you're going to be without spot or blemish. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And let me tell you what he said. He said he saw it in New City, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, a door for her husband. Listen, John 14. He said, what was it? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Let me tell you something. The Jews, when they was going about to get married, before they ever got married, they'd go over there and build a house for that bride, and when they got the house built, they'd come back and get the bride. I'm telling you, the bridegroom is going to build me a place to abide with him, and he's coming back to get me one day, and I'm going to live with you forever.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it, brother. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And he said, and God shall be their God. And they shall be his people. And God shall wipe away every tear. Wait a minute. That's at the end of millennial. Are y'all hearing me? That's at the end of millennial reign. God's going to wipe away tears from our eyes at the end of the millennial. There's bound to be some tears during the millennial, or you wouldn't have to wipe them away. Say amen right there. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out.
Amen.
I didn't go to college to preach. I don't believe in that mess.
Amen.
Y'all disagree with me, want to. Y'all ain't going to change. I'm too old. And when you get old, you get hard-headed and everything else. And, and you sot in your ways. You know, amen. That's exactly right. My wife tells me I'm sot in my ways. I am. I'm going to tell your brother right now. But this thing, I'm sot in my ways. I ain't going to change. Amen. If the good word of God shows me something, I'll change on that. But some things I'm convinced of. I am absolutely convinced of. And brother, I'm going to tell you what, heaven's a reality. And let me tell you something. If you don't get saved down here, there's some teaching today in Baptist circles that you'll have another opportunity after Jesus comes back. Some's going to get saved during the tribulation time.
That's a lie.
And they teach, let me tell you, it is a lie, brother. I'm going to tell you why. They also teach, and I don't teach it, okay, I'm saying they teach it. They teach that the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out, so the church's going to be taken out. I believe the church... Let me read you something. Turn over with me to the book of Ephesians real quick. Ephesians. I'm going to read something. I don't know why God has me preach this morning, but I want you to read this. I want you to read this. Now unto him, verse 20, chapter number 3, Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Everybody don't have the same power. They could have, but they don't.
All right,
watch this next verse. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Folks, there's three worlds taught in the Bible. There's a world that was destroyed in Noah's day. There's this present evil world that we're living in, and the Bible talks about the world that is to come. And brother, that's it right there. And the church is going to have recognition in the world to come. Jesus' bride is going to be recognized in eternity. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. I might have to have a Bible study after this, brother. I might have a lot of questions about this, but I'm going to be sick. Okay. They got me on the internet. Y'all can look it up if you want to. I'll just tell you how it is. Back in the 1990s, church I was pastoring, there in Pearl River County, the Catholic Church printed a big... somebody wrote a whole big article, covered a whole page in a newspaper. And it said the Catholic Church, the first church, and all the other churches come out as the Catholic Church. Well, hey, brother... I ain't going to sit around and put up with that junk. Not where I live, anyway. I challenge that. I went there and bought me some radio time.
Yeah.
I mean, that church paid my radio time there. And I said, I went there and I told that woman, the radio station, I said, I probably won't be on the radio station very long. What I want to do, I want to straighten that mess out over there they put in that newspaper. And she said, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach. The Catholic Church is a harlot. And the Baptist Church is not. It did not come out of the Catholic Church. We're not Protestant this morning. We never protested anything. We're Baptist. Jesus set His church up while He was on this. Hey, it wasn't born on Pentecost. It was empowered on Pentecost. Jesus set His church up before He left here. Amen. And I stayed on that radio station. And buddy, I studied all that doctrine in Catholic Church, God, and I tore it up by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Tore it up. And I said, these people go down and get in these little booths and confess to Father, to a man that wears a dress, and dresses like Mama, and calls himself Papa, you know, Father. And I did. I said that on radio. And boy, I mean to tell you, I got a letter in the mail from New York City. They had an attorney up there, their diocese, whatever they got up there, threatening me, said, we're demanding that you desist and quit preaching about the Catholic Church. You know why I did what? Throw it on the side. I just kept preaching, brother. I just kept preaching. I said, they ain't demanding nothing out of me. Hey, they didn't save me. They didn't call me to preach. Brother, God did that. And I'm going to declare the riches of the Word of God. I'm going to expose ungodly and wicked doctrine. Say amen. You say, preacher, I got people in the Catholic Church. They're good people. If they're good people and they're saved, they'll get out.
Amen.
Do you know what the Catholic Church believes? They believe you got to be a member of that church to be saved.
That's right.
They believe the church saves you.
That's right.
Go study. That's in their doctrine. Anybody can read it. So after I preached that on the radio, somebody wrote an article about the Mississippi mudslinger. That's what they call me. That Mississippi mudslinger. They say, I guess it's still on the internet right now. And they got me on the internet called the Mississippi mudslinger. I was slinging mud at the Catholic Church. Well, I like to sling more mud at them, I tell you right now. That's how I feel about them. Amen. They're deceiving a lot of people, brother. Deceiving a lot of people. I baptized some Catholics where I was. And brother, they told me, they said, preacher, it's just the most ungodly mess you've ever seen in your life. Say, there's nothing there. There's nothing, boy. They didn't tell me nothing I didn't know. Amen. I know there's one church.
Amen.
I believe it's a Baptist church.
Amen.
I wouldn't be in it if I wasn't. Didn't believe that. Amen. I'd be out there. I wouldn't be here today. I'd be looking for it. Amen. I feel just as confident the Lord set up a Baptist church as I can be. I'm an old-time, faith-way, foot-washing, Bible-believing, holiness-preaching, godly-living, devil-hating, sin-killing Baptist preacher.
Amen.
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 Now, I might have said some things in there y'all don't do, but that's all right. We'll be friends. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You hear that foot washing I preached? You know what we did at my church? We had the Lord's Supper. I got down, brother, and took my brother's feet and put them in that water. I washed my brother's feet.
Yeah.
I'd get up.
Yeah.
He'd take my feet, wash my feet. We'd hug one another's neck.
Amen, brother.
Sweetest service. So sweet. Preacher, I'd love to wash your feet. It'd just be such an honor to sit here and wash a man of God's feet. I love you. I believe you're a man of God. I believe you preach it right. Oh, if I could just wash the man of God's feet. I'm the old timey folks. I'm way back here. That's just where I believe it.
Yes, brother.
I don't know if I ought to say this or not. But I ain't gonna say it. No, I ain't gonna say it. You probably don't believe it, so I ain't gonna say it. I just believe living by faith.
That's right.
I've lived by faith
All these years been preaching the Word of God. Been living by faith. Never knowing, preacher. Listen, never knowing what I was going to get in the offering week after week. Never knowing what my offering was going to be. Never did know. Never did know. It might have been $15. It might have been $1,500. Never did know what it was going to be. But you know what? That's my wife back there. If we got the place that looked like we weren't going to be able to meet them bills, God always provides. I resigned a church one time, first church I ever pastored. I resigned it, wasn't called nowhere. And we went back over to a revival. We had a house at the time, and our house note was $62. No, we'll forget it, $62. And we was actually wondering, how are we going to pay that house note? Didn't have money, it was due. And we talked about it. Well, we bought gas and went to that revival. It was about 55 miles from my house to that church I first passed. And went over there. After service that night, there was a lady walked up to us and handed us an envelope. And she said, "Brother McCraney, just put this in your pocket." So I did what she said. I put it in my pocket. Just went around talking to everybody and got in the car. My wife saw her when she gave it to me. I forgot about it. I was going down the road in that old pited 65 Plymouth Valiant. When I say pited, all the paint come off the thing. You know, it's just pited, gray and blue. I knew it would be standard chill. Look, the smoke blowing out the rear end. It looked like I was trying to kill skeeters or something. God was blessed. Had Maypop tires on it. That's right. Had Maypop tires on it. Maypop anytime. And they did a lot of times. Amen. But I was going that road. Never will forget going that road, brother. Them women, son, they noticed things. My wife said, "I done forgot about it." My wife said, "What did that woman give you?" I said, "I don't know. It's in my pocket." She said, "Give it to me." So I reached in there. I got it, and I was driving. I handed it over to her. And you don't believe this. You can ask my wife sitting back there. She opened it up, and I said, "What is it?" She said, "It's a $62 check. You say, "That's a coincidence." No, it's not. God knew I had a need. I got a God that can supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's never let me down. I know I preached a bunch of stuff this morning. I didn't intend to preach it. But that's all right. I feel good about preaching. I feel like it's the will of God that I preach what I preach. Well, I ask you, sinner, what's your answer going to be when God rises up and He comes calling? What's your answer going to be? You going to be like that crowd in the 14th chapter of Luke? Man made a big supper and went out, sent his servant supper time to bid him to come to his supper. That's what Jesus is doing. He's preparing a good supper. And we're trying to invite you to come. Trying to get you to come. And the only way you come is through Jesus. You got to have an invitation to come to this wedding. That's why you just don't up and go. And he went out there and he began to invite them. And one of them said, "Listen, I bought a piece of land. I pray thee have an excuse. I can't come. I've never seen this piece of land, but I need to go see it." The other said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go try them. Ain't that something? Bought something you never tried, didn't know if they'd plow or not. But said, "I pray thee have me excused." And the third one said, "Well, I married a wife. How about that?" That's the problem with a lot of folks. They married a wife or married a husband. And they don't go to church and don't want you to go to church.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, you're to obey, women, you're to obey your husband as it's right in the Lord.
Right.
If he tells you don't come to church, you come to church anyway. That's right. Just come to church anyway. My old grandmother got saved when she was 12 years old. She lived to be 95, died in the year 2000. My granddaddy was, she said, I didn't know this. All I ever knew about him was he loved the Lord with all his heart.
Yeah.
Deacon in the Baptist church. That's all I ever knew of Papa. But Mama told me, she said, "Son, he was the meanest thing that ever walked on 2 feet. See, he liked to drink, cuss, and buck dance." Now, they don't do that buck dance no more. That's an old dance. Some of you older fellas might remember something about it. But so that's what he did. See, that's all he wanted to do. Drink, dance, and cuss. And He was working the old sawmill, Millard, Mississippi. And that's a sawmill town at the time. It's not there anymore. But Pop was working that sawmill, and they lived in this little shack. And there was a preacher coming to that little town and was going to hold a revival. And so he started that revival. So Mama was walking 3 miles to a church out in the country. Matter of fact, the church I pastored just left. She was walking 3 miles to get to that church, to go to church. And they had this revival. And so she said, I'm going to go to revival. So Monday evening came. She cooked Papa's supper and set it on the table. That's what folks ought to do. That's what women ought to do. They ought to fix meals for the husband. If he's going to work, they ought to fix a meal for him.
Amen.
Breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Amen.
And so he come in. He said, where are you going? She was all dressed. She said, I'm going to revival. He said, you going to revival? What you doing going to revival? She said, I want to. She said, I love the Lord. I'm going to revival. She said, I got your supper sitting right here. She said, you need it. Take your bath, go to bed if you want to. So I'd like for you to go with me, but if you don't want to, that's all right. I'm going to church. And he went into a rant and rave and a cussing spell, but she went to church anyway. So the next night, he come in. She had supper on the table. She was dressed. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going back to that revival. She said, again? And he went in one of his rant and cussing spells again, just snorting, ripping. And that's all you do. That's all you want to do. You just want to go to church all the time. Well, when you get saved and you love the Lord, you won't be where he's at. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. So she said, now, hon, she said, supper's on the table. And said, you go ahead and eat and I'll be back as soon as service is over. She left and him a cussing, ripping and raring. So that night, she went down to the altar and got on her knees and prayed for him. Said, now, God, you know how wicked and ungodly my husband is.
Yeah.
But, God, I know you can change him. I know you can change. And she prayed for her husband. And she went back home that night. And Papa was laying up in bed. She said, and when she told me about this, they always, when I went to their house, they was always reading their Bible. Had a rocking chair. Each one of them had a rocking chair. And you can ask my wife. Yeah, it didn't matter. If you went out there, they was reading their Bible. And she got telling me about this. Papa sitting over in that rocking chair. And she said, I come in that night after service on Tuesday night. Said he had his hands behind his head, had his legs crossed. Said he didn't have none but his shorts on, laying up in bed. And said he went to cussing and ripping and raring. And she said, I didn't say a word. And he went to cussing and saying, there ain't nothing to that God you serve. There ain't nothing to this religion. And I said, Mama, what did you do? And about that time, my papa, he just broke down and went to weeping. He over in that rocking chair. She said, well, son, I just bowed down by that bed. I put my hands on that bed, and I said, now, Lord, you know what I got is real, and I know it's real. And I know I'm saved, and I know you, the God that saved me. And I want you to make my husband know that you're real. And this ain't no lie. And I asked my papa then. She said, at that very minute, something grabbed him and threw him right in the middle of the floor. You say, I don't believe that. I looked at my papa. He was over there weeping. I said, Papa, did that actually happen? He said, he was a weeping. He said, son, it actually happened. He said, I don't know how it happened, but he said, I found myself in the middle of the floor. Well, next day, Wednesday, came. Mama had that good supper baby. Table all fixed. She was ready. She fixed to go to church. Papa comes in. He said, you going to church tonight? I said, yeah. And she said, your supper's on the table. She said, I'll be back after a while. And said, she started leaving. He said, wait a minute. If you got time for me to get ready, I'll go with you. And said, he run back there and he worked in that old sawmill and his grease. And so he took a bath and everything best he could, got his clothes on, and they went down to church. And said, so they got down there and she said, that preacher plowed the plow. Said, boy, he preached. And said, Papa got our Holy Ghost conviction. Said, boy, he stood there trembling under the power of God. And said, old preacher, give the invitation.
Yeah.
My papa run down the altar. fell on his face, Mama said.
And so he began to cry, God, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm going to hell, I want you to save me.
Amen.
He said, God reached down there and glorious, save my papa. She said, son, he never drank another drop. He never cussed no more. So he didn't act the same way. What am I telling you? God's a mighty God. God's a wonderful God. He can save people, and he saves them out of the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. And he'll save you today. What is your answer going to be? What's your answer today? What you tell? You're going to tell God something. You're going to walk out the door, and you're going to be answered God today. If you're here lost, what's your answer today? While we sing, what was your answer? What are you going to tell God? God rises.